All right, we're teaching on training for reigning. We're in this last place we call taking ownership. Taking ownership. I want to start reading in Romans chapter 4, starting at verse 13. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Therefore, to faith that it might be by grace to the end, the promise might, Therefore, to faith that it might be by grace to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who calleth those things which be not as though they were. All right, today we're going to talk about taking ownership. Now, I was away on vacation. I said, Lord, what are the biggest things that's needed that I need to emphasize going into 2010? He said, discipleship. Discipleship. Now, that's very important to God because disciple is more than just a churchgoer. A disciple is one who has taken God's word literally. And not only does a disciple know about the word, a disciple knows the word. It's two different things. You can know about the word. Oh, the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. Praise God. Boy, if I could just get these bills paid off. The wealth of the wicked, praise God. That's knowing about the word. But knowing the word is when you get manifestations in your life. And that's what I think that scripture, one of the things that scripture about in Mark chapter 11, where Jesus cursed a fig tree. Remember, he came by looking for some breakfast. And there was no fruit on that tree. And he cursed it. He said, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And the disciples heard it. Now, the scripture says the disciples heard it. It didn't say they overheard it. He wasn't trying to speak to it in silence. He was teaching. He's making disciples. Then he said, going on down, and in the evening he went out of Jerusalem, went back up through that place, and went back up to Bethany, which is about 2 miles, I guess, and went to bed. And then he got up, came back the next day, and they came back by that tree, and they said, Master, the tree which you cursed has withered away. And Jesus said, have faith in God. But whosoever shall say to this mountain. So if you look in the scriptures in the New Testament, you'll see that something like 90, 95, 99% of the things that Jesus did, he did through words. He did through words. And this piece is coming back today. This is where God is bringing the church back to. Now, a couple other things here. Many times what has happened in the church is that Christians have had a fairly hard time accepting what God said. Now you try to say, well, now that, I don't think that's true. Well, we'll see. And many times Christians have chosen or would like to stay in a place where they have no responsibility for believing God. None. And if you take them and you try to move them out of there and try to move them into a place of believing God. Remember the group that came out of Egypt? They came out of Egypt and came into the wilderness. Remember what happened in the wilderness? Now he sent out 12 spies and came back and 10 of them gave him evil report. You remember that, don't you? And when they gave him evil report, two of them gave good reports. So let's go up at once and possess it. Now this is taking ownership now. But we are well able to overcome it. And they said, no, no. We're in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so are we in their sight. Okay? How they saw themselves and how they saw their God. Because the next chapter, chapter 14 of Numbers, talks about God brought us all the way out here to kill us. And amazing how many people think, God did it. No, sin did it. But the devil was the agent of it. And I'm saying here that this whole idea of trying to stay in a place where we don't have to really believe God for anything is a dangerous place to be. See? The Bible says, now you don't have to turn there, please. Don't turn there because it'll take too much time. But the Bible says over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 18, but now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it has pleased him. God set you in the body as it has pleased him. How many people are out of place? I really don't think God is sitting many people in a place where they cannot hear something about faith. Because without it, you can't please God. Without it, you can't overcome the devil. You hear what I'm saying now? Because he didn't say he has set them in members in the church as it has pleased them. Because they'll choose a place where they don't have to believe God. Dangerous place to be. Because that's what we need to receive our inheritance. The faith of Abraham. We got to have it. So you got to be taught something about faith. And I think that's why our broadcasts are so popular. Because people have learned something about faith. And I'm not talking against other people, but 12 of those spies went out. 10 of them came back and preached something that didn't take no faith. Yeah, and even when I come and I say, hey, we're going to believe God for an airplane, what I want you to do is I want you to believe God for $1,000. So I said, now, listen, here's what you do. You got it all. The inheritance is there. All you have to do now is believe God for it. I've already sown $100,000 seed, and now God's going to fund it back through those who would allow God to use their faith to fill up an envelope that they didn't have to go into their Christmas savings to get. And do you know some people back off of that? Because you're looking for a place where you don't have to believe God. It ain't here. Excuse my English. It is not here. I'm not going to make it there. He didn't call me that. We've been using our faith ever since we got born again. We've gone from faith to faith. You name it. Look at the place. Look at the banks. Look at the whatever it is. It doesn't make any difference. I was just down in the Bahamas. A guy says, hey, one of the tennis pros, hey, I've been watching you on television. I've been watching. Listen, is it possible that we can have a Covenant Bank of Bahamas? I said, it sure is possible, dog. You got it. You know. Are you following what I'm saying? I'm just saying, hey, wait a minute. People are using their faith. And without it, you can't please God. Now, don't shout me down because I'm preaching good. But we're going to bring you up right because we're going to make disciples now. Not just churchgoers. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, I'm not coming down on anybody or anything like that, but I'm coming to a place that we are in a place and time that the coming of Christ is near. There are some things that's got to be fixed before he comes. You can't fix them without faith. You cannot do it without faith. Plus the fact there are going to be some things coming in the economy that you're going to have some faith. Faith is no longer going to be an option. Or else you're going to have to find somebody that's got some. Because I'm telling you, I plan to live, excuse the expression, high on the hog. Yeah, follow what I'm saying. Okay. All right. Are you with me? Now, that's just a little tension getter. Now, we're going to talk about some good things here in just a minute. All right. Now, Adam had rulership. God said in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, watch this, over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. God gave Adam dominion over all the earth. Dominion, rulership, lordship, caretakership, ownership, stewardship. Means all of those. Okay. Well, you know, God is in control. If God was in control, there'd be no sin. The reason why this thing is like it is because you're in control. God is in control of heaven. Do you know there's no sin up there? He gave the earth over to man. And the things that Adam did, he called. He spoke it. The law of saying. He said things. He called things. Now Jesus, the Bible calls the last Adam. What did Adam lose? He lost that revelation. He lost his fellowship, he lost his provision, and he lost the revelation of who he was and how he's operating. The remnants of that were where Satan used it to get his people together and build a Tower of Babel. Go look at it sometime in Genesis chapter 11. It says they were all one speech. And notice what God did. God saw what they were doing, and he came down and did one thing. He confounded their speech. He had to do something with words because it's so powerful. And now, because people have lost the revelation of the word, they just talk, man. My feet are killing me. Now, suppose that came true. Boom, they hit the floor. I'm just saying, now Jesus came to do something. He came to get back what Satan stole and get it back into the hands of his rightful ownership. You are a child of God. Amen. He came to get it back into your hands. Amen. Now, we got ownership. Amen. Now, whatever you bind on earth, bound on heaven. In other words, nothing is permitted to go on here unless you allow it. You got what I'm saying here? All right, so he says down here in verse 17, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Now, where God is taking us now is he's taking us back up to where Adam operated at the beginning. He's taking us back up to words. This man was teaching, and it was teaching on paying off a debt of this preacher's building. And the debt, this opened my eyes. Debt was a few million dollars. He said this. That as long as you take this situation and reduce it to money, then you'll have a struggle. Because you have no money issue. You have a faith issue. Now process that. In your wallet right now, you don't have a money issue. You have a faith issue. Y'all looking at me like a calf. Turn to Ephesians, please. That's what you get when you send me on vacation. You get revelation? Overflow. Amen. Now look at Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's going to bless us. See, I read that wrong, didn't I? So you got to watch how people are reading this. Because what they do is they read it through the eyes of their tradition. We call it genetically altered scripture. See, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 4:4, it says, man shall not live by what? Bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Notice what he's doing. He's talking about two levels of reality there. He's talking about the natural body and the spiritual body. Man shall not live by bread alone, natural body alone, but he shall live by every word. The word of God is bread for the spirit. But notice what they're doing with food. They're taking it and injecting it. They're putting all kinds of stuff in it. Now it doesn't have the kind of power. It doesn't have they're trying to increase the shelf life so they can make some money. But meanwhile, it's lost its potency. And what it's supposed to do for your body, now it can't do. Same thing about the Word of God. They're injecting it. They're taking their tradition and rolling it over in that scripture and tell you that God doesn't heal everybody. That is a genetically altered scriptural statement. They've taken it and turned it. Now they fed it to you. I just wondered, well, God doesn't heal everybody. Lies and garbage. He's already healed everybody. There is no future in God. He's already blessed you. Am I right about it? Now, I've just got to look at this. With all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, he's already blessed me. He's already blessed me. If the whole earth belongs to me, why am I talking about my problem is money? No, I'm just asking questions now. I'm just saying, if it's mine already, my problem is no longer money. My problem, my issue is faith. Because the way God is going to get into my hands is up to God. It ain't up to me. It's up to me to believe and keep my mouth right. And God does the rest. Jesus didn't do anything but spoke to that tree and believed what he said was going to come to pass. And he went on down there in Jerusalem, turned over some cash registers and so forth, came on out of there, went on back up there and went to sleep, and came back down there the next morning. The tree's laying on the ground, whatever it did. And they said, Master, look at here. I'm saying what happens is we try to step over into God's part. God's part is how to do it. Your part is to believe it and speak it. Your part is to decree it and believe what you say is going to come to pass. Say amen to this. Last night, we were coming back. We were coming back on commercial last night as we were coming back. And I'm telling you, everything coming out of Bahamas and coming into Charlotte, I guess, which is the exchange for that particular airline, and everything. They say, I got on the ground, and they said, everything's canceled going into Chicago. Snowstorm. No, we hadn't believed that. We hadn't believed that. We believed that we were going to catch this airplane. And guess this, we got in a little bit late. So the airplane that we were going to catch anyway canceled. Then the next one canceled. Then the next one canceled. But because of our faith, we get off the airplane. My wife, she just followed me. See, follow those as they follow Christ. And so she followed me. And we passed by the ticket booth, and then I saw another ticket booth. Some said, go over there. I went over there. I said, excuse me. I said, we are headed home. She said, Reverend, is that you? I said, yes. She said, oh, we got to get you back home. So she's playing with it and so forth. And the thing did something and so forth and locked us out, and we couldn't get in, and all the seats, everything was taken and called back, and the travel agency, everything's booked and so forth and so on. And then she said, no. Come over here, call this big supervisor. The big supervisor came up and said, she said, listen, we got to get back to Chicago. Here's what he said. He said, well, I'll just override it. Now, but wait a minute. I'm taking ownership. See, I'm not trying to try to find some comfortable pew seat where I don't have to believe God for anything. This pew seat is supposed to be my training center. Your problem is not money. Your issue is faith. If you bring it down to money, you're going to struggle. Because you're in the devil's territory. Say,
money
cometh
to me.
Now. Feel the faith out of that? So what are we doing? We're going back to where we're supposed to be. Calling things. Living by faith. Say amen to that.
Amen.
All right, now. Thank you. Amen. My pleasure. Praise God. Boundaries. Boundaries. Now, we're going to teach some on that. My wife and I really did a lot of kind of studying on that. She did more than I did while we were on vacation. I said before that the Christian community in general has a pretty hard time accepting what God has said. And as a result of that, we have made some kind of excuse for God's word either not being true or not working for us. Now, what they were to do was God was taking the children of Israel from a bondage mentality, meaning a programming that was done according to the world, and bringing them through the wilderness into Canaan. And one of the things that has to happen is we have to realize that there have been boundaries that have been set up in our minds to convince us of a different reality. Boy, I'm saying a lot now. That's why I'm slowing down. And the church pretty much has been programmed with limitations. And what God does to help us get beyond that is give us something called biblical meditation. And that's the way personally I have come into a place of being able to receive my inheritance. I don't care what it is, whether it's thousands of people, whether it's a mall, whether it's banks, whether it's schools, it doesn't make any difference. I am not allowing what others have done set a limit on what I can do. Now, I want to show you a couple of scriptures. Because when you decide that you are going to be a disciple and to grow up, you immediately come into a place where the Word of God has nothing to do with your feelings or your experience. That through biblical meditation, you create another experience, an experience that is an experience of truth. He said in John chapter 8, you shall know the what? Truth, keep going. And the truth shall make you free. Now, it didn't say you shall know about the truth and it'll make you free. You shall know the truth. Know, from the Hebrew word, Adam, knew Eve, yada, meaning intimate oneness. You're going to know the truth and the truth will make you free. As a matter of fact, the Spirit of God, howbeit when he has come, he will guide you into all truth. Substitute the word truth for reality. Because when Adam sinned, he lost he lost perspective. He lost the entire reality of things. He only could see what he could see with his natural eyes, and that is not good enough. In fact, that is only a part of reality. Say amen.
Amen.
The Western culture, especially, I heard it on TV the other night, is even getting further away. And this guy came on television. He was talking, I think it was on Larry King or something. It was on, they were talking about life after death. And the guy said something. He said, do you know that the Western culture, I know he's talking about the United States, it's really the only culture that a lot of the people don't believe in life after death. Also, that's right. The Buddhists believe in life after death. The Hindus, you know they do, because they believe you come back as a cricket or a frog or a cow or something. You know they believe in life after death. Come on now. The Indians, you know they believe in life after death. The Muslims, you know they believe you're going to get, you know, 21 women, virgin women in the next life. You know all of this. I'm just saying, everybody except a Christian. I mean, my point to you is there's a reality out here that is beyond what you can see, that it seems like the church is having problem believing in. And it is more real than what you can see. So, the church was programmed with limitations. Now, I use that example. I wrote to my partners this month, and use an example of a piranha fish, and how that experiment was done with the piranha, where they had a big fish tank, and a piranha is a kind of violent man-eating or flesh-eating fish. And if you stick your hand in a piranha tank, I mean, if there are piranha in there, they'll tear that thing off. They're in seconds, they'll strip that meat off. And so they're very violent. So they put it in the fish tank and put some little fish in there with them. Piranha got hungry, ate the fish. But now what they did, experiment, so they took a plastic see-through and they put it halfway the tank. So the piranha was in part and the fish or provision were in the other part. Now the piranha got hungry, went after the fish violently, hitting up against that thing. And that happened until the piranha, after 30 days, they took the divider out. So what do you think happened to the piranha and the little fish? Okay, he didn't eat them. Because the fence was transferred into his thinking. Got it? So I'm saying, with repetition and experiences that you have had concerning whatever you're concerned with, then a fence gets set up. Now, once the fence is up, Satan don't need to mess with you. The fence will keep you in. And it's not people. It's not somebody. It's not another race. It's not whatever. It's you. It's the fence that has come into your thinking that has got you out of your mind. It's right there. Now, you know it's in there because when somebody says a certain thing, then you react to it. You react to it. You're it's like hitting your hot button. Well, what did you say that for? And you said, wait a minute. Whoa. See, you can't understand that because there ain't no fence like that in your life. And you're trying to figure out what did I do? I just said roses are red. See, but what they did is hit something that was programmed long time ago, and that thing is still live. It's in there. Say amen to this. Are you following what I'm saying? And I'm saying things about money and turns of getting in. And as soon as I'm talking about getting that fence down, boy, let me tell you, all kinds of things. I mean, people get mad about it. He after money again. All those things are talking. I'm trying to get you out of the fence. I'm trying to get you into a place where you never have to struggle for your gas money again. I'm trying to get you into a place where you now can pay a tuition for your cousin down the street who wants to go to college. I'm trying to get, say amen to that. So how do I do it? Mainly meditation. And meditation is a way of transforming your thinking and doing it biblically. Now, it takes the Word of God. So now, I got to meditate something. Well, remember what we do. We see things through the eyes of our own perception. You got what I'm saying? I mean, that's the way we see things. We see things through the eyes of our perception. You don't see with your eyes. You see through them. That eye gate lets the light or image come in, and your mind does a calculation. It tells you what you just saw, not your eyes. Your eyes are just open. Got it? So now I got to get you pass this boundary, because that boundary is in your life and God wants it out. Because if you're going to get that inheritance, you got to go into Canaan. Amen. Say amen to this. Amen. And what he shows you in Canaan is much bigger than anything you can afford. Amen. So you got to take it out of a money situation and put it into a faith situation. Oh, y'all ain't hear me. Y'all listen to me now. So now here I am, and now I got to go in there. So these boundaries are there. One boundary is what I think about God.
All right.
See? God will kill you. No, sin will kill you. God's trying to protect you. People looking at themselves. We're in our own self, in our own sight as grasshoppers. Oh, have mercy. Can I deal with some of this here? I got 4 minutes and 14 seconds. I'm going to finish on time. But... So here they're over here talking about, we don't have nowhere to go anyway. Let me come over here. Okay. I got it. Let me. So, okay, all right, I'm coming. So now, I got to get this word in me and meditate it. And I began to meditate 1 Peter 2:24 while I was on vacation. Now, meditation, we're going to teach on that some this year because we want you to be good at it. Meditation allows the Holy Spirit to guide you into all reality. It allows Him to write on the canvas of your mind the reality of what God said when He spoke that. What did God mean? Because I'm coming up with some genetically altered stuff here. Now, I want to know the truth because the truth is going to make me free. I want to know what God said. So I take it and I begin to meditate 1 Peter 2:24. If you will, put it up on the board, please. All right, 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bear my sins in his own body on the tree, that I being dead to sin shall live into righteousness, and by whose stripes ye were healed. When were you healed? Okay, you were really healed before the foundation of the earth. When was the Lamb crucified? Before the foundation of the world. But let's go back to 2,000 years ago. Jesus bore our sicknesses, didn't He? Now we're no longer looking at what I got. We're looking at what He's got. Because that's what we got to make the transfer. Are you with me? Now, what did He heal? What did He heal? All right, let's just do this. I'll take a little time on this. Let's go to Matthew chapter 4, please. Matthew chapter 4. We're just going one or two scriptures. I'm almost done. I'm out. I've been here since early, and we're going out. I'm going to come back to Ephesians, but I didn't tell you I was going to come back there, so just stay where you're at. Stay where you are. Let's go to Matthew chapter 4, please. And look what it said in verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing what? All manner of what? Sickness. Keep going. And all manner of what? Diseases among the people. And His fame went out throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with what? Diverse diseases and what? Torments. And those which were what? Possessed with the devils. And those which had what? Lunatic. And those which had what? Palsy. And what did He do? Healed them. How many of you think He healed? Everybody that was blind, crippled, crazy, everybody. He healed everybody. All right, look what it says in Matthew chapter 9. Come on over there, please. All right, you have it, don't you? Look at what it says here in verse 35. And Jesus went about all cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing how much? Every sickness, keep going, and every disease among the people. What's left out of every? Nothing. So did he heal everything? Everything folks had, he healed it. Question, is he the same? When? Yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13 and 8. So let's look at Matthew chapter 15 now. Come on, Matthew chapter 15. Now, what am I doing? I'm meditating. I'm going from scripture to scripture, and I'm letting the Holy Spirit paint a new picture in my system. Now, understand, I tried to leave the company that I was with, computer company, and I tried to leave. Each time I tried to leave and step outside, something would speak to me and said, baby, need a new pair of shoes, house note due, car note due. Boop, I jumped back in. Couldn't leave. Every time I tried to leave again, wife need a new dress. Oh, I had to come back in for that. And then so forth and so on. Now, my point to you is that notice, I couldn't leave because the fence was there. And every time I tried to leave, it wasn't the company holding me back. It was me holding me back. There was an image that I needed to come into contact with that I didn't have yet. And so I heard a teaching on seed time and harvest. I got the teaching, and one verse jumped out at me. The verse of Mark chapter 10, verses 29 and 30. No man that has left house, mother, father, sister, brother, lands means job, or for the gospel, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time. So I start meditating that one day, without me even being warned, boom, something went off inside of me. I saw it. I saw freedom. I saw 10,000 members. I saw me being successful. I saw things happening for me. I didn't see me leaving a company. I saw me sowing a company. And I saw the harvest coming on the other side. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, what did this come from? It came from meditation. It came from me spending time with God, which the enemy does not want you to do. So as I go through these scriptures, all of a sudden in Matthew chapter 15, I see where even the maimed were made whole. So God said, what do you think it is that I can't heal? I said, well, really nothing, but I'm not really thinking now. I'm still kind of messing with this intellectually. He said, no, what do you think it is that I can't hear? I said, well, nothing. He said, how about arthritis? Mm-hmm. How about heart problems? Mm-hmm. How about this? How about that? Diabetes and so forth. Now, pretty soon, he leaves the big realm, and he goes down and starts talking about cells. He starts talking about genes. And he starts talking about the fact that some genes in people's lives, some of the genes have been mutant. And those genes have taken on a mutated thing that do certain things to that body that causes that body to be like it is. But he can go all the way down into the mutant that caused that and correct the mutant so that not only will you be healed, but you can stay healed and you have nothing broken, nothing missed. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, wealth and riches shall be in your house. Well, how about meditating that? Come on now. Here's the scripture for you. Lord have mercy. Rich do you think you are? See that? Okay, yeah, very rich. You got a quarter? Very rich. My point to you is, wait a minute, you might know that in your natural thinking, but the fence is still there. So I got to get this word and I got to meditate it, because you have been made richer than you can imagine in your wildest imagination. Watch this. Not when you get to heaven. Right now. That's how rich you are. Well, I'm only 13. You still that rich. You born again? Then you just got rich. Say amen to this. And folks, when you know something, it changes your boundaries. It changes your decisions, and it changes your personal recognition system. In other words, you can have a car and you buy that car and it's the only car that looks like that, and you think you're the hottest thing in town till you drive off that lot and the first traffic light, a car just like yours, pulled up beside it. The reason why you didn't see it before is because it meant nothing to you before. But when you change your perspective, then you see solutions that you have never seen before. You see opportunities that you have never taken advantage of before. And God can speak to you with witty ideas and creative inventions and take you to a level that you've never been before. All right, now, boundaries. That's just two. How about how strong are you? Here's a scripture. Psalm 27:1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Watch this. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Are you following what I'm saying? In other words, if he's got it, I got it. Now, you can't get that without meditation, because if I tell you that just off an average traditional genetically altered folks, that they'll say, oh, that man got heresy there. He think he's God. No, I'm a son of God.
Amen. Amen.
Hey? Now, let's go to the last one. Let's go back to Ephesians again. Ephesians chapter 1. Can we do this?
Amen.
And also Isaiah chapter 53.
We following you, sir.
Amen. Isaiah chapter, make it Isaiah 54, please. Wow. See what happens when you send me on vacation? You can get something. I said you can get something. See? Genetically altered, see? I'm going to give, but I sure hope it's given back to me. All right, let me give you a scripture. Just write it down. Psalm 89 and verse 34. My covenant will I not break, neither alter the thing that is gone out of my mouth. You write that down?
Yes.
Write this one down. Matthew chapter 5. Can you do that?
Yes.
Matthew chapter 5 and verse 18. I want to read it for you. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle shall not nowise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. That's a bad translation. Let me give you Luke chapter 16. Just stand right there now. Luke chapter 16. Put it up on the board for him right quick, that board person. Luke chapter 16, and look what it says in verse 17. And it is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one tittle of the law to fail. Do you know what a tittle is? A tittle is like a little exclamation point, or it's not even a character. It's just a little point. See, what is he saying? He's saying, you think that sowing and reaping is a gamble. And the reason why you think it's a gamble, because you've been altered by some genetic speech or some teaching that has altered your thinking somehow. Now, listen, wait a minute. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to you. And so he says this. Now listen to what I'm saying. You think it's a gamble. But see, you have not reinforced your thinking with my covenant will I not break. And before sowing and reaping won't happen in your life, the world must blow up. You got it? You got what I'm saying here? I tell you, most of God's people, they don't believe God. And there's a reason why, because they haven't been taught. They've been taught that some of this is just stories that God used just to show you something. This is reality. The newspaper is stories. This is reality. You put that money in there as you obey God. The earth and heaven must pass away, before your harvest will not come. God has obligated himself to bring you a harvest off of every seed that you will ever sow into good ground. And you, the tendency, I'm questioning him. Well, that is the wrong image of God. And the reason why is because the right image hadn't been taught. Now, I'm going to bring you up as disciples. You're going to read it one time, and it's going to transform your thinking into the reality of heaven. You're not going to struggle with it no more, because you're going to be just like a soldier who takes an order from a general. The general says, do this. Yes, sir. And you're going to do it and see the manifestation of God in your life like never before. Say amen to that. It was never meant that you have to hope that this word works. This word will work when won't nothing ever work. This word will be here when everybody's gone. This word will work in this country, in Africa, in Asia, in South America, in Australia. This word will work any night, any day, any time. This word will work for the black man, the white man, the red man, the yellow man. This word will work for a woman. It'll work for a man. It'll work for somebody who just came out of jail. It'll work for somebody who just had a cat. You're trying to find a reason why this word won't work? There is no reason why it won't work. This word is quick and powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It'll move any mountain. It'll cause any money to come. It'll cause any healing to come. This word will do that. Say amen to that. There is nothing more powerful than the Word of God. It is the most powerful thing in the universe. Say amen to this. All right, let me just finish this. Lord, have mercy. I said, Lord, have mercy. Religion always wants somebody's opinion. God ain't looking for nobody's opinion. He done said what he gonna say. The word of God is not a gamble, folks. It's a living reality. Now you look what it says first. I'm gonna read this and then I'm going. Lord have mercy. Look what it says over here in Ephesians chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Where? In heavenly places in Christ. Now, we're going to get to that. According as he has chosen us in him. Let me ask you a question. This is that piranha fish. Those fish were just swimming around. And after his mind had been programmed like that, he couldn't see them. He couldn't see how he could get to them. Why? It's been programmed. Were they there?
Yes.
Did he partake of them?
No.
Because in his mind, he couldn't get to them. I told you, you have been made rich beyond your wildest imagination. Now watch this last part. I'm talking about getting these things out of your way. I think I need to hit a scripture before I hit this. It's not going to take me 3 minutes. I'm done. Let's look at Joshua chapter 5. I think that's where it is. Joshua chapter 5. And let me know when you get there. I said, let me know when you get there. You with me? Look at verse 9. This is when Joshua is about to take Canaan now. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Joshua 5, verse 9. This day, I said this day, I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Watch this. Wherefore the name of the place was called what? Gilgal. Unto this day. Somebody ask me or answer me, what is reproach? It's shame or disgrace. You notice something. Before he could take him in there to fight the giants, he had to get the shame out of their lives. Turn over to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 54. Let me know when you get there. Verse 2. Enlarge the place of thy tent and let them stretch forth the curtains of thy habitation. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, strengthen thy stakes. In other words, get ready. You're about to increase. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Fear not, for thou shalt not be what? Ashamed. Neither shalt thou be confounded, for thou shalt not be put to what? Shame. For thou shalt what? Forget the shame of thy youth, and shall not remember the reproach of thy widowhood anymore. Now, what am I saying? Programmed limitations. And one of the things that you're going to have to deal with when you're going into Canaan to take that place, the giants, and receive your inheritance, is you're going to have to deal with shame. Turn to Ephesians, last place, chapter 1. You see, this taking ownership is very, very powerful, because the church basically has enough power to annihilate any of Satan's work. Anything that he's done, you can undo. The church can do that. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, it says, pray for those who are in authority. First of all, supplications, prayers, and giving of thanks be made for all those who are in authority. It says, for kings. That means a president. It didn't tell you to curse the president. It told you to pray for him. Say amen to this. You see, what the church, because they've still not grown up and been disciples, they're thinking they're fighting a natural battle. This ain't about black and white. This is about the devil who has been running this earth and is behind every diabolical scheme to take the earth down and you with it. But what you got to do is wake up, and you got to say things like, praise God, thank God for our president. Father, I thank you this man is going to do right. Listen at me. Father, I thank you that he's going to make right decisions. Father, I thank you that he will do the will of God. See, you think it's a man. Let me tell you something. The devil can use anybody you put in there if you don't pray, because there is no defense for them except in the spirit. There is no defense. I don't care who you got in here. There is no defense for them. The Bible says Satan controls the whole world. Now you tell me there's a defense. The Bible says in Ephesians 6, you wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood. But against what? Principalities and powers. Not asking you to come and criticize and mumble and grumble and complain. You know the group that did that died in the wilderness. You are through complaining. You're going to start decreeing. Say amen to that. I get up and pray for our leaders every day. I pray for my president. I pray. He's your president now. You pray for him. Well, I didn't vote for it. I don't care who you voted for. It makes no difference. You are a believer, and you march according to the articles that are written in your constitution, which is the Holy Bible. Say amen to that. The Bible says the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. Say amen to that. And he'll turn it whichever way he will. It's amazing how we came from criticizing, how we came from murmuring, how we came from complaining. I know it's division in the House and Senate. Total division. Why? It's the devil's behind it, because a house divided cannot stand. He's after the whole country. But you stand in the gap. You come against that spirit of division. Say amen to that. Now, this is the last part. Y'all with me? See, we're no longer genetically altering it. It's no longer about our opinion. It's about reality. So now look what he says here in Ephesians. Can I do this and I'm gone? Ephesians. Verse 4. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Watch this. Having predestined us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us what? Acceptable in the beloved. Watch this. No more shame. Now watch this. This has been a boundary. Somebody coming up to you. Well, how you doing? Fine, thank you. Oh, I see you're new here. Yeah. Do you have family? Well, yeah, I'm not married, but I have some children. How many do you have? I have 9. 9? Now, here comes shame now. Because the devil's after you. Yeah. Oh, okay. All one father, or. Now notice, they don't want to know nothing about them children. They don't care anything about them kids. It's you the enemy's after. I just told you, Jesus said, I have rolled away the reproach. Now watch this. Oh, okay. Now they're not done yet. How old is your oldest? They don't care nothing about how old that kid is. They could care less. She's 42. 42? Watch this. Girl, you don't look that old. You have kids, 42? It's not about your kids. Not about any of that. It's about bringing shame on you. Why? Because if shame does overcome you, it will knock your faith right out. You can believe and believe and believe and nothing happens. Shame brings you down to inferiority. Inferiority puts you in the devil's hand. Because with people who feel inferior, notice they lead lives of destruction. Self-destruct. Because in their hearts, they're ashamed of themselves. It ain't about them kids. It's about the devil using somebody to bring you down. But I got good news for you. There's a promise in here. I'm going to make it so that you're going to forget the shame. I'm going to roll away the reproach. When Jesus hung on that cross, I know they have a little something on him, his loins and so forth. He didn't have anything on. Naked. That was part of the shame. But notice what he said in Isaiah. He took your shame. He was ashamed so that you can never be ashamed. Watch this, and you can walk right up to him. Oh, how many kids do you have? 9. Oh, is that right? Okay, the different father? Yeah, 77 different fathers. Now, wait a minute. I'm not saying this is the way we live, but this is the way we had lived. You got what I'm saying? Oh, okay. How old is the oldest one? 45. Oh, you don't look that old. Well, I just stay young. Praise God. I just stay young. You see what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying? Come on now. I'm saying, I don't know what happened in your past. I've been locked up. I've been this. I've been that. Guess what? You are accepted in the beloved. Jesus chose you. Even when you were locked up, even when you was married 5 times, even because he chose you before the foundation of the world, and he's not going to change. He called you his child. Now come on home. Say amen to that. And I'm done. And I'm not ashamed because I went over. And you are not ashamed. No longer. No longer. No longer. You have been accepted. God has accepted you, and that's all you want to know. Did Jesus accept me? Because I ain't got to pretend no more. I ain't got to wear dresses all the way up to my behind trying to get some man to notice me. Come on now. I ain't got to say amen to this now. Come on. Okay, say amen to this. Now I can walk like the king's kid, and I can walk, and I'm going to tell you, God's got somebody picked out for me that is better than I could have ever done it myself, because I am not ashamed. Give the Lord a praise, that's all. All right, sit down, take your seats. Remember now, remember this. When faith is not there, favor is not there. Now you're on your own, you're going to struggle. You get favor in your life, God will bring you some folks. Say amen to that. Oh yeah, I came to tell you that you've been accepted. Yes. He looked at all the times that you did what you did, your reefer smoking selfie, all that. He chose you out of all of that. Come on now, come on, come on. Come on now. Help me, help me, help me, help me now. I was coming out of the hotel in the Bahamas, and the guy who was carrying my bags, he said, "Reverend, you know," he wanted to use it for a little time of confession. He said, "Reverend, you know, I'm not going to church like I should." I said, "Why is that, Doc?" He said, "Reverend, I've been trying to live right, but it's just been hard for me." I said, "Doc, let me give you a scripture that ought to bring comfort to you. It says in the book of Proverbs that a righteous man falls 7 times, but he gets back up again." I said, "I want you to do something for me. I want you to start going back to church." This is what he said. "Yes, sir. I'm going to start doing just that." See, all he needed was a little encouragement, because he had gotten ashamed. Are you following what I'm saying? Folks, now I want to build you up, because it's hard to lift up other folk when you feel down yourself. I want to make it so when you see people, you say, girl, you look great. Boy, you're looking radiant now. You're looking, yeah, praise God, yeah. Oh, how you doing? Yeah. Oh, my goodness, that's a wonderful outfit you've got on. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, you know, I heard what you said in that meeting that we had. Boy, I wish I could have thought like that. That was wonderful. Encourage somebody, because you are no longer ashamed. Give God a praise. If you're here today and you know in your life